God draws all peoples to himself, part 5. The book of Daniel describes one more event that shows so clearly how Father God never stops drawing peoples to himself, accomplishing his purposes and plans, as long as he can find men willing to manage God's world for him, be his representatives here on earth. But that requires, of course, that they do exactly what he wants done. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were such men. They were willing to let go of their own desires for their life, but instead only do their Father God's will. Men who loved their God more than themselves. Men who were in all they did focused on honoring their Heavenly Father, willing to let God use them according to his plans for their lives. Yes, our God has a distinct plan for each one of us, but he will only execute it if we are willing to let him use us to accomplish it. If we are willing to let him use us, that is when we show our love for him. King Nebuchadnezzar had died, and his son Belshazzar had been reigning in his place. And you realize, people do not automatically follow the God of their fathers. Each generation from among men must make all over its own decision to follow God or not. Belshazzar was so fully aware of all that had happened to his father Nebuchadnezzar, losing his sanity, followed by his restoration as king by God Almighty. But whatever he had heard, he did not choose to honor the only real God. Instead, he just lived a life of feasting and enjoying ownership of what his father has worked so hard for. I can see him to be the same arrogant king that his father once had been in his earlier life. Such a king is not helping God at all to accomplish what he had been doing in the empire. And while his empire and powers were falling apart under his enemies, he just kept on feasting, thinking to be safe within the powerful walls of the city of Babel. But God wanted to continue spreading his kingdom rule in the earth and had decided to replace him with a new empire, that of the Medes and Persians. This is King Belshazzar's last night. But he is having just another banquet as if there will never come an end to it. Then God's hand writes a message on a wall of the banquet hall. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. There is great consternation among the king and his guests, and he summons the magicians and wise men to explain this, but no one can be found to do so. And the queen reminds the king of his father's rule and of this magistrate Daniel. He had, of course, forgotten all about him, that religious fanatic. But as we will see, the enemy remembers Daniel well. Now Daniel is summoned. He has entered the banquet hall and is addressing the king. We start reading in Daniel chapter 5. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever your father wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. and whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and man took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of man. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of man and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. Instead, you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They've brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand, and who owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from heaven, and this writing was written, Mene, Mene Tekel Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and ended it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found lacking. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very same night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Questions to discuss. Do you notice that God himself is taking here the initiative, announcing his judgment on King Belshazzar? Why did God not have mercy on Belshazzar and give him first a warning? Or do you think that he had enough warnings since his father had died? It appears that this was a coup, and that the Mede and Persian leaders, who had been a part of that kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar, knew very well about what had happened under King Nebuchadnezzar, and how in the end he had glorified our Almighty God. Obviously, their leader Darius also knew Daniel very well and knew about his God. We now continue reading. It pleased Darius to set over the whole kingdom 120 satraps, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, so that the satraps might give account to the governors, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault at all, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Therefore these governors and satraps thronged before the king, and said to him, King Darius, live forever! All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Questions to discuss. Why would the governors and satraps have been so jealous of Daniel? Take some time to talk about that. Do you think that it might have seemed to be a good thing to increase the king's absolute authority and power, to make the empire stronger in such a shaky world? Or was there pride even in King Darius to sign such a law? We continue reading. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men gathered and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God, and they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed the decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king said, that's true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, that cannot be changed. So they said to the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on delivering Daniel. And he tried all he could until the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel. Then these men approached the king and said, now, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Therefore, the king gave command, and they took Daniel and threw him into the den of lions. But the king said to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, so that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. The king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. He also could not sleep. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel prospered in the reign of King Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Questions to discuss. Do you think that Daniel knew why these rulers had asked King Darius to write that decree? Do you notice how Daniel immediately acknowledged his God, trusting him, petitioning him, and worshiping him? Do you believe that Daniel, opening his windows, wanted the whole world to see that he loved and honored God? We should never be ashamed of him, should we? Do we realize that Daniel could not protect himself against these men, but that he had to put all his trust in God to protect him? Do we notice that the king was upset with himself for having signed such a law? Did God reveal himself to King Darius as powerful, loving, and caring? Do you think that King Darius had become a believer in God and was serving him? Would you now dare to trust God also to take care of your life as you honor him with all your heart, even when very threatening circumstances develop in your life? It is historically noticeable that in the days of Daniel, a major religion, Zoroastrianism, began to become dominant in the whole region. It became the national religion of following larger empires and is quite close in its beliefs to Judaism. This may also have been a major factor in the later rapid rise in that region of Christianity in its early days. The capital city of the Medes and Persian Empire was Susa, and its ruins are located in the center of the Iranian city Shush. One can today still find in Shush the tomb of Daniel as a most prominently visible monument. We cannot imagine how great the influence of our God has been in those days because of the faithfulness to their God of these few Jewish men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. End of the lesson.